You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. It is Legacy Sunday, and I am glad you woke up this morning. I am glad that you're here. Welcome to church. Grab your Bibles. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and I just want to look right in the camera and also say hello to all of our people watching from all the way around the world, from Africa to Abilene and every spot in between. We want to say welcome to you. High Ridge Church, come on, let's give them a big warm round of applause today. So glad to see you. There's a ton of people that are out sick today. Everybody in the world got sick. Let me just say, hey, we are praying for you. I'm going to ask the Lord to help you and to heal you right where you are. Come on, church family. Can you extend your hands towards people? And just in every direction, they're all around us, people that are sick. Lord, would you touch and help our friends that are sick? I pray that you would heal them right now, right where they are. Let relief come in the name of Jesus. And all of us said together, amen. We believe that. Awesome, awesome. Psalm 112 is where we're going today as we celebrate Legacy Sunday. There are a couple things coming up that you have to be mindful of. And if I don't say them now, I'm going to totally forget them. But let me just remind you, Christmas Eve is coming up. So on Christmas Eve, we have three different service times, 3 o'clock, 4:30, and 6. 3 o'clock, 4:30, and 6. So we're going to come together. We're going to have candlelight. We're going to be singing Christmas carols. We've got snow coming. Come on, somebody. It's going to be a white Christmas, whether it's 85 degrees outside or not. We're going to make sure that we have a little fun time and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here together, 3 o'clock, 4:30, and 6 on Christmas Eve. And then the following Sunday on December, I believe it's 29th, we will not be having service here. We're going to have online service only. So we believe in the power of rest, and we told our staff, take the week off. We're going to do a video message. I've done a video message for you. We got some stuff there. You can sit down and watch it with your family if you'd like. But if you show up here on the last Sunday of the year, pick up the parking lot because ain't nobody going to be here. Just pray for us if you would, but we value rest here. It's important to stay healthy as a church so we get to rest. And so this is the one Sunday of the year that we tell the staff, hey, you guys take the day off, get some rest, and we'll see you back next year. And then, of course, when we come back in January, we're going to have a time of fasting and prayer. If you've never fasted before, it is a perfect introduction to fasting. It's an important discipline for the body of Christ to learn, to get used to fasting and praying for repenting. And so it's going to be a wonderful time of coming together, fasting. We have devotionals every single night. We've got lots of stuff I'll tell you about. We're going to have people get prophesied over. It's just fantastic. So if you've never ever seen that, if you've never been a part of it, you're going to want to be part of our Discover services kicking off in January when we come back. And then also notice that this is a two-part Legacy Sunday. You guys have done so much in the way of generosity. You've given so much that we could not tell you all the details in one single day. So we've had to split it up over 2 days. So what I'm going to do is today I'm going to tell you only the things that we've done inside the city of Longview. Then next week, we're going to talk about all the things you've done outside of the city. So there are a lot of things. I told you this at the very beginning of the year. If just imagine what we could do if our building was paid off, what we could do with the extra finances. And you guys have responded. We've paid this building off, and I cannot wait to share with you all the things that the Lord has been able to do. God has been so faithful this year. It's been powerful, and it's been very hard for me to be quiet and not tell you all the things that are happening. It's very hard for me. I got a big mouth. And I like to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. I like to be able to show you those things. And I have not been able to do it until today. And so today is a wonderful time. I'm so excited to be able to share with you all the things. But first, the most important thing, Psalm 112. Let's get into God's word together. I want to show you where Legacy Sunday comes from. It comes from this verse in Psalm 112. In verse 5, it says, good will come. Maybe we just stop right there for just a moment and let that get centered into our mind. Sometimes we get focused on the negative things that we think are gonna happen as we're ending the year. It's difficult for us to kind of look into the future and not have a lot of anxiety. But God's word here tells us today, I believe this is important for us today to hear, good will come. Good will come. God is good. God is sitting out in front of us. He's not hindered by time. Good will come. Good will come to those, it says, who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. The Bible talks about the promises that God has for his people who have a heart to do the things that God feels is most important. Good will come, it says, to those who are able to be generous. And by the way, that's not an amount of money. He talks about the condition of your heart, the generosity that we're able to say, Lord, I recognize that there are some people that have a lot less than me. There are some people I could look and say, you guys have a lot more than me. Y'all ought to be doing something. Or I could say, Lord, in spite of all that I'm limited by, I want to be generous with what I do have. There are people in this world, believe it or not, that have a lot less than you. Good will come, God's word says, to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. That word in the original language means to make some wrong things right, to make them right. That's important for us to see because as we look around at our world, we can all obviously see that there are things that are wrong. But instead of just looking at them and instead of just branding them, that's wrong, we can say, Lord, how am I to be used to help fix that? What's my part in this? Is there anything that I can do? How can I use the gifts and the talents and the things that you've blessed me with? How can I use my resources to help make some wrong things right? It says, conduct their affairs with justice. And then here's the good part. It says, surely the righteous will never be shaken. I like that scripture. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. It says, they will be remembered forever. They're leaving a legacy. And so as we focus in on God's word, I want to remind you, man, God has done some powerful, mighty, wonderful things in our city because of your generosity. I cannot wait to get all those things to you and the local impact that we've been able to have. But let me just remind you of a couple of things that are important as we look at God's word. Number one, if you're a note taker, please write this down. We are each leaving a legacy. Each of us. You have a legacy. There are things that people will remember you by, hopefully, by the way, they're gonna remember you with good memories. At some point in your life, there's gonna be five or six people that'll gather around your coffin and carry you and put you into the ground. It's a morbid thought, but none of us get to escape this place alive unless Jesus comes back a little early. How will people remember you? I was speaking to a friend of mine that's been placed on hospice, and we were talking about her service. Now, what do you want to be remembered by? How can we make sure that your celebration of life is everything that you wanted? And she was saying some wonderful things that are just between us and some of the things that you might have to hear later on if the Lord chooses to take her home. But the things that she said, hey, make up a bunch of lies about me. That'll be fun. But I want to make sure that our lives are lived so well that I don't have to lie at your funeral. But people are gathered around saying, hey, that person meant a lot to me. That person left a legacy. That person made a difference. How will people choose to remember you? Well, see, that person was concerned about themselves. Will we have to make up some lies? Was that person selfish? Were they arrogant and rude? Or can we say that person made a difference? They saw me. They helped me. They were able to make a difference by helping others. They left a legacy that we will be remembered forever. Each of us are leaving a legacy. And by the way, we're leaving a legacy as a church as well. It matters what people think of the bride of Christ. It matters what people think about when a church name comes up before them in conversation. When you ask someone, where do you go to church at? And they present the name of the church. And I more often than not, especially in East Texas, when someone brings up the name of any church, what comes to our mind is something negative. I know a person that goes there, therefore that church is a bad place because that person is messed up. Did I step on your toes already? Come on, this is a day of celebration. This is a big and beautiful thing. Let me just remind you, like, we're leaving a legacy as a church. It matters how you treat people. It matters how you speak to people. It matters how you tip. Your generosity speaks things about your character and about your church. And I found this to be the case, which is sad, but this is a truth statement. Most churches aren't remembered for the good they did, but for what they failed to do. For the things that they failed to do. We are each leaving a legacy. Here's the second thing that we must see is that we must do business with justice in mind. The way that you conduct your affairs, the way that you do business, the way that you have a job, we must do that with justice in mind. How can I use the paycheck that God has given me to make some wrong things right? More than just buy more toys, more than just have some things that my neighbors can be jealous of, more than just to get more security, more than just to make sure that my children are okay or my grandchildren are okay, more than just to make sure I've got some stocks and I've got some bonds and I've got some crypto and some Bitcoin, more than all those things, the Lord says, justice matters to me. It matters to me that my bride, that my children are able to look at what's happening in the world and be my hands and my feet, that they have my heart. It says, blessed are those who conduct their affairs with justice in Psalm 112, with justice in mind. What can I do to make some wrong things right? So instead of constantly looking at people that have more than me and saying, y'all should do something, I look up to my God and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Is there anybody that I can take care of? Is there anyone that has less than me that you're putting up on my heart that I can minister to? And maybe if I don't have enough, you know, to take care of my own family, can I do some things that maybe don't cost a lot of money? Maybe just going to their house and holding a hand of somebody that's dying. Maybe it's praying for somebody. Maybe it's putting your arm around someone that doesn't feel seen or loved. Maybe it's sharing your testimony or your story. What can I do? The Bible says, blessed are those who conduct their affairs with justice in mind. We make some wrong things right. Is that okay, everybody? I believe the greatest wrong ever that has ever been committed, the greatest wrong in the world is for somebody to live and die without ever encountering the grace of God. In my opinion, that is the greatest wrong. That is the church not doing their job. That is people like me and you not sharing our faith, but saying, I don't want to embarrass anybody and I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to be unpolitically correct. I don't want to make any waves. But there are people in our world, and even in our city, in the South today, that don't know the story of the grace of God. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. Now, they may know all about Jesus. Maybe grandpa's a pastor and grandma's a great Baptist, and maybe daddy was part of the Crystal Methodist Church. We don't know. But the point is, until you share your story, until you open up the conversation about Jesus, you may never know either. Until you invite people to church, until you use the gifts and the resources and the stories and the testimonies that God has uniquely placed upon your life, we're not doing business with justice in mind. It matters how you spend your money. It matters how you spend your resources. Are they there to just increase your bottom line? Are they there to just make your family feel more secure? Are they done for selfish reasons by just having more toys to somehow bring some sort of happiness and joy to your life? Let me just remind you, there's nothing wrong with having some toys. The problem is when the toys have you. The problem is when it captures your heart. Jesus spoke about this, by the way, in Matthew chapter 6, when he tells his disciples, you're going to have a big problem happening inside of your heart. It's the battle between the Lord being the Lord of your life and money being the Lord of your life. Every single person, even those that are of the household of faith, those that have Christ living as the Lord on our hearts, even we still struggle with that simple problem. Every single paycheck, is this given to honor the Lord first, or is this given to make sure that I feel secure? Jesus said, you're gonna love one and hate the other. You can't serve God and money. It's impossible. So how do we have those things coexist? How can my relationship with the Lord and my ability to use my money to bring glory and honor to the Lord, how can those things coexist without making money the Lord of my life? Let me say it this way. My relationship with God and money can coexist peacefully only when I place my money underneath his authority and use it for his desires. That's the only way that can happen. Otherwise, money will be your God till the day that you die. You can profess Christ, profess Christianity as part of your religious experience, but really, money is our God. There's a struggle that each of us will have. Whose money is it? Who is this for? And we'll find ourselves when we hear a good sermon or a good message or a good story or see a good picture of some kid in Africa somewhere that has less than us or with a little fly coming on his eye or something that really tugs at your heartstring. Well, then I'll give 10 bucks. But it's about more than that. It's not an amount. It's about the condition of our hearts. Lord, what can I use what I've been given to its fullest extent to bring the most glory to you? Those are the kind of people that God can trust, and those are the kind of people that God blesses with more, because he can trust you to have his heart in mind and not your selfishness in mind. Are you still with me, everybody? So we must do business with justice in mind. We must do church with justice in mind. Here's the third and final thought before we get to some cool things. Number three, my generosity reflects the heart of God inside of me. You know, the Bible has countless scriptures that talk about the relationship between your heart and two different things. And the relationship between your heart and those two things are really important to God. Multiple scriptures tell us that your heart is connected to your mouth and your heart is connected to your money. What you spend and what you say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means that you can lie and you can say the right things. You can bless God and praise this and curse the devil and this is good and glory God, hallelujah. You can say all the Christianese, all the Christian things that you want to. But at some point when you put a little pressure on you, what comes out of your mouth is what's really going on inside your heart. It won't lie to you. It'll tell you the condition of your heart, what's really going on. Pressure. Another thing that will help us to understand the power of God over our finances is just print out your monthly bank statement, and it will tell you where your heart is. My heart is for entertainment. My heart is for meals out with my friends, or my heart is to connect with others. My heart is to use my gifts and my generosity for the heart of God. It won't lie to you. It's numbers. Numbers don't lie. It's almost as if, you know, you go to your doctor and they put a little needle in your arm, they draw blood, and all of a sudden they run it through a computer and it prints out. That doesn't lie to you. It doesn't present just a thumbs up. It says, no, here's the numbers. It'll tell you what you value. It'll tell you what you've been putting into your system. It tells you what's really going on inside of your heart. And my generosity must reflect the heart of God inside of me. I believe that there's things in our life that tells us when we're most like our Father. And Genesis talks about the heart of the Father as a creator. I believe that when we create, when we use that part of our lives, not when you're necessarily drawing or painting, because people say, I'm not creative, but when you create things, when you build things, when you do things with your hands, you get a sense of the essence of God. He's a creator. You're able to use your imagination. It's part of what makes us different than the animals. We're able to dream and to create and to build. It's a beautiful thing. But also, I believe that we're most like the Father when we're loving and when we're giving. The Bible says that God is love. As a matter of fact, in the most famous scripture of all time, John 3:16, it tells us that for God so loved that he did what? Gave. And God gave that which was most precious to him, his own son, for my sins and for your sins. God loves. God gives. And I believe that we're most like the Father when we're doing the exact same thing, when we are reminding ourselves of who our Father is. That tells us that there's something different about our heart. That says that there's someone living on the throne of our hearts that's making a difference inside of me. It's how I know I've been changed, because the things I used to think about, I don't think about anymore. And the things I used to give my money towards, I don't give my money towards anymore. The things that I give now my money towards are for the things that are most important to the Lord. Lord, how would you choose to use this? I love that my wife and I were able to look at our giving this past year, because I want to make sure that I never talk about things that I'm not leading in myself. And we're able to break the record of the most money we've ever been able to give in the history of our marriage. We watch this every single year as it jumps up, because we like to outdo ourselves every year. I never like to lead you someplace that I won't go myself. So I'm not telling you about things that I've learned. I don't even tell you about things that I've discovered. I'm telling you things that I've lived. I go first. It's about my heart. My giving shows me a reflection of what's happening on the inside of my life. This is a direct reflection, by the way, of the book of Ezekiel, when God says, I'm gonna take that old heart of stone and I'm gonna give you a new heart. I'm gonna put my spirit inside of you. So it's not a spirit of selfishness. It's not that selfish desire of that old heart that only cares about himself and what I can get to make sure that I'm secure, to make sure that I have enough, to make sure I'm able to feed my family. No, it's about more than that. Lord, this is yours first, and I trust you, because my heart's been changed to no longer trust myself, but to trust that you can provide for me. This is unfortunately a place where many believers will never step into. It's hard for us to make that transition in our minds, where we've learned to not rely on ourselves as much, but to rely on the goodness of God to give us better ideas, to put us in positions, to be able to make more, to be able to do more good. But it's important for us to at least take a look at that and to recognize what's happening inside of each of our hearts. My generosity reflects the heart of God inside of me. Here's what I know to be true, is that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Some of you have written a check to your ex-spouse, had to pay that alimony, like, I don't love that person anymore. You still had to give. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. It's attached to your heart. So when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, it's more than I say I love the Lord. It's more than just the worship of my hands and lifted up in the fruit of my lips. But it's my generosity that tells me, Lord, I love you, so I give because you loved first and you gave first. It's a reflection of the heart of God that's living inside of me. Is that okay, everybody? Now, as we finish up just that part, we're going to transition into some very fast talking. And I'm going to have to talk very fast. I'm about to talk faster than you ever heard a Mexican speak in your life. Speedy Gonzalez got nothing on your boy. Let me just tell you, there are a lot of things we got to cover. And I told you guys a few months ago, if we were able to pay off this building, there is no end to what we could do. Just imagine what we could do. And so this Legacy Sunday has now had to been split up into two different parts. Today, we're going to talk about our local impact, just what's happening inside of the city of Longview during this past calendar year. There's so many stories that we could tell. And let me just remind you of this. We are a church that's in Longview for the sake of Longview. We're here to be a benefit to this city, not a hindrance, not an anchor. We're here to help, to give something back. Why? Because we do church with justice in mind. How can I fix the things that are happening right here in this city? How can I be a help to the injustices that we're seeing? Every city has a different list of things that a church can do to help. Unfortunately, most churches will be remembered for what they don't do. So as we're digging into that, I want to remind you that we exist in the city for the sake of the city, and we've done some fantastic things here. Next Sunday, I'll tell you all about what's happening outside of the city, which is enormous. So we've had to split it up over a couple of days, and I'm also going to show you some videos of what's happening around the world. There's a lot of people around the world in different countries on different continents that just want to look at you and tell you thank you. There are things that we've been able to provide that they would not have if not for your generosity. And so this is something that's so important to me as a pastor, because I've sat on staff at other churches and I've been a member and sitting in the pews in the seats of other churches, and I've always asked myself the same question: where does all that money go? Where does it all go? Today, we get to show you. We get to show you. And the cool thing is, I can show you with a smile on my face. I don't have to beg you for more. Why? Because we have power today. We have electricity that you paid for. There's water in the restrooms. The toilets work because you're generous. I'm grateful for that. There's so many different ways that we could just say thank you. And so there's also, by the way, I can say this. Yeah, I can say this. There are hundreds of stories that I know personally that you will never see, that I will never show you. There are many situations that I can't show you. Number one, because it's not dignified. There are some people in this very room that we've had to help a lot. And I don't put your picture up on here and say, this person wants to say thank you, because that's embarrassing, and I get it. So we have to do a lot of justice with dignity. And there are a lot of situations that you don't bring a camera into. When you're sitting on the side of somebody's bed that's saying goodbye for the last time, we don't take selfies, somebody. So there are hundreds and hundreds of situations where your money has gone to help somebody that was in need, where I cannot show you, but you just need to know that there are a lot of people that are very grateful, including some of those that are sitting on your row today, that your generosity has made a massive difference. From coffee meetings and dinner meetings, from those that have needed to have counseling and marriage counseling and kid counseling. And there's things going on that would make a billy goat's stomach turn. Ministry is not sexy. It is dirty. It is gross at times. And it takes real people to sit in the dirt with people on some of their worst days and say, I will help. And those stories are things that I can't show you and can't tell you, but there's a lot of stories I can. So just for the interest of time, let me start with this. Last year in 2023, you guys broke the record for all-time generosity. I told you last year, you guys gave more than I'd ever seen before in the history of our church. You guys gave $2.7 million in 2023. That's nuts. But that's nothing compared to what you guys did this past year. Let me just tell you, this year is not even over yet. You guys are over $3 million today. Today. In Longview, Texas, are you kidding me? Wow. I didn't know we had it in us. Look at us. Like Paul Red says, look at me. Look at us. Who would have thought? Me? No. You? No. Look at us. Look at us. $3.07 million is where we are at currently, which is a huge increase. By the way, that's up 12% from the year before, if my math is correct, and it always is. It is not correct. That's a funny joke. Anyways, there are so many things that I wanted to be able to share with you. But giving is up, which is awesome. In the middle of an election year, it should not be. In the midst of an economic recession, in the midst of many people hurting and struggling, I'm shocked. But we deal, by the way, with... I probably have a close connection with about 31 to 32 pastors just in Longview alone. I've not met a single one in this city that didn't tell me the same story, that they're all cutting back. They've all frozen salaries or cut salaries. They've had to cut ministries and cut budgets. Not a single one of them didn't tell me the same story. And so it's difficult sometimes to say, well, how are you guys doing financially? I'm like, we're just trusting God and believing the Lord for good things. Because you don't want to embarrass anybody. You don't want to say that. But it's not the case here. The power of God is here, and God has blessed us. You have been extremely generous. We've not passed a single plate. You've not ever seen people passing offering plates. We don't have to do that here because you're generous. Let me just say thank you for that. I don't have to sit up here every single week and beg you for money. I don't do that. I don't have to. I'll just show you the pictures. I'll show you the stories and say thank you. You made a difference for somebody this past week. There's so many things that we're able to do in the midst of a hard financial year. You guys are breaking records. And because of your generosity, we're able to add a couple of people on staff this year, able to add Heath onto our staff. So Heath has an awesome wife, Alex, some beautiful little girls. If you haven't met them, you need to say hello to them. We've also been able to add another children's care worker. This is Miss Katie Walker. So is Katie in here today? She's across the street. Oh, there you are, right there, front and center. Love you. Love your husband, Corey. You're awesome. Love what the work that you're doing. You take care of a lot of people and a lot of their kids, and we want to just say thank you. And so some of your money goes here and pays for them. It pays for my salary. Thank you for that. I was able to get a raise this year. Thank you very much. And by the way, you need to also understand, I do not control my own salary. I've never done that. There's three non-staff elders that come together every December and they vote on whether I get a raise or whether they're going to lower it or not. And this has been a beautiful year because of your generosity that gave me a raise. So let me just say on behalf of my family, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's going to be a very good Christmas at the Ingram household because of your generosity. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me show you also where our tithes and our generosity has gone. We were able to send two pastors and their families on sabbaticals. We believe that when you've been in ministry for 5 or 7 years of full-time ministry, you need to get out and you need to take a break. You need to decompress. Ministry gets hard and it moves very, very quickly. And if you don't take some time to get out and kind of stop everything, to get off the train and get outside of Longview, you're going to burn out. And so we make them go on marriage retreats, make them look at their marriage, like, are you guys doing okay? Is there any help that we need to be giving you? Are you still supposed to be in ministry? Are you still supposed to be in ministry here? That's important because many ministers hang on way past the time where God said, it's time for you to move. We want to make sure that we give them time to hear from the Lord, focusing on what God is saying. And every one of our pastoral staff have gone on sabbatical this year was the Cases and also the Vaughts. And so if you know Pastor Zach and Taylor, if you know Pastor Doug and his wife, Laura, if you know them, on behalf of them, let me just say thank you for giving them a time of rest to get away and to decompress. We believe in the value of rest. And you should too, by the way. You should too. There's a reason why churches crumble to get unhealthy real fast. And it happens all the time because they don't value rest. They don't realize the toll that it takes to do ministry. And I could talk about that. I could do a whole series on the importance of rest. But for the sake of time, we're going to keep moving on. Let's look at our budget this year. I want to show you guys now where all that $3.07 million has gone. Here is a percentage breakdown. You can see on the top left that we value men and women equally. So 3% of everything you've given has gone to men's ministry, women's ministry. Look what's happening with Favored, with Beast Feast. You guys raised a ton of money, so we don't have to use a bunch of our budget to cover that, but that's awesome. Online ministry has increased. Our outreach number has increased from 10% now to 13%. That we're able to give more because you've given more. We also have weekend services and operating costs and overhead. My salary is in there. Pastor Doug's salary is in there. Pastor Chris on the weekend, his salary is in there. It takes a lot of money because you guys are expensive. And my wife told me not to ever say the joke again, but I like to be rebellious and tell you that overhead, when we see overhead, that's the name of my plane. That's not true. But don't tell me I can't believe God for what. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. But it costs a lot. Your utilities and your equipment, your programs and your software, it costs a lot to keep this thing running. But you guys are extremely generous. Let me just say thank you that we get to have an excellent Sunday morning every single week. We have cameras and people that are able to watch on the other side of the earth because of your generosity. And that stuff costs money. It costs real money to have training, and to have the equipment and all the stuff that goes along with that. And what happens when we let our youth use it and they break it? We need to replace it. But we're able to do that because of your generosity. They need to learn. Come on, somebody. They need to learn. It's okay. And so let me just say thank you for that. I love what we're able to do with our next gen. We've been able to increase that. It was last Wednesday alone. I wish I could tell you all the stories that's happening there as well. But we had four teenagers that came, four boys that came for the very first time from Pine Tree High School, got invited by a friend. They sat through Wednesday night service. At the end, they presented the gospel. All four of those received the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that. You know, statistics tell us that by the time you get to 18, the majority of the percentage of people that ever receive Christ are underneath that age of 18. So if we're not winning that battle there, you're going to have problems as a church. It matters that we invest into our young ones. And so we've got some more plans. I'm going to show you some more about that next week when you come back. I want to show you what we're looking at in the future, which is awesome, by the way. And I got to hold my taters. I'm trying to hold my taters. All right. During this season, by the way, we paid off this building. You guys did that in less than 4 years. A 20-year note, you guys paid that off in less than 4 years, which is crazy. $2.2 million, you guys. We are 100% debt-free in this building. Thank you for that. And not only during that, what we were paying that off, but the Richard Parker Plumbing Building became open across the street. We reached out to him because he was graciously allowing us to use those 32 parking spaces to park because we've ran out of room for all of your cars. And so once that building went up for sale, he said, I'd really love to sell it to you guys, but I need to be able to make some money. He's having a hard time with his lungs and with COVID and all the things that were happening going out of business. I said, well, we can't afford to lose that to somebody that might be anti-church and not ever let us park there. We need that space. Even though we're paying off a building right now, it's tough, but we're able to cut a deal for that building. It was listed at $640,000. He sold it to us for $500,000. You guys paid that off in 90 days. I love being able to say, here's an opportunity the Lord has given us. If you want to stand behind that, you know, you vote with your pocketbook. And so tell us if that's something that you feel like is a good idea. Man, you guys paid that off so quickly. I sat down with our banker this past week and we're discussing our finances. And he's like, hey, stop paying stuff off so soon. We're not making any money on interest. I'm like, we ain't trying to make you rich. You're rich enough. We're trying to pay stuff off. Come on, somebody. So we are 100% debt-free because of your generosity. Let me say thank you because of that. Let's get into some cool stuff. You'll notice on the seat back pocket in front of you is a Connect card. And we say this every week. If you will grab one of those cards and fill that out, if you're a first-time guest with us, and place that in one of our offering boxes on the way out, we will give $5 for every single card that we've given to an operation to what's called One Child. And so this feeds kids that are in largely very impoverished areas around the world. And so kids that don't have food, we're able to help people that are coming to our church services for the very first time to make a difference on day one by filling out that card. And so because of that, by the way, we were able to sponsor and feed 21 kids this year that are eating because of our first time guests. I love that. That is awesome. We had 129 of you fill out cards. And so let me just say thank you. You made a difference on the very first time that you ever came to fill out one of those cards. So by the way, if you're a guest with us today, spend our money. Feed a kid. It's a beautiful thing, and I love that. That's awesome. There's so much more we got to get to. Let's talk about Highway 80, our rescue mission, which is located right down the street. And so with Kevin Richardson, with Miss Pam Martin, where are you at, Miss Pam? There you are. With what you guys have done with the men's ministry, with women's ministry, for those that are homeless and those that are struggling. Many of those are fighting addiction issues, and some of those are people that grandmama and grandpa have been praying for a long time. Let me just report this to you. Let me make sure that the number is correctly given. 93 of those this year accepted Christ as their Savior. That's a huge, huge impact. Thank you, Miss Pam. And thank you to the team that volunteers out there every single month. You guys are making a massive difference, and I love that. Let's move on. Highland Pines Nursing Home, by the way, they reached out and said, hey, we have Bibles here, but we don't have large print Bibles, and we're elderly people. We need some large print Bibles. Come on, somebody. You know that when you get a little older, these things start failing a little bit. We were able to purchase 50 large print Bibles. You would not imagine the stories that came out when they're able to just read God's word again. Beautiful things begin to happen. And it was an easy call for us to make to say, we're going to happily pay for that. Love that. If you guys know Patrick Johnson with J-Star Ministries, he does a lot of disaster relief and he's able to go to where people are getting hit the hardest all around the world. We were able to sponsor two trips between him and some teams that we sent to Oklahoma when they had an F4 that hit this past year and bring a lot of relief and a lot of just basic supplies of people that their homes were destroyed. We're able to set up a drive-through pantry for people to just come in and just get what they need. It's on us. And so your money made that possible. We were able to fill him up and stock him up to make sure that people had all that they need. Also, with the hurricanes that hit Florida, we're able to send a disaster relief team there that was able to do a lot of help with them and that same team. So let me just say on behalf of those people that you might never meet in Oklahoma and in Florida, let me just say thank you on their behalf. You were a friend in a hard season. And that's a big deal. love being able to support them. We're also able to partner with Treasure Church, with Longview Community Ministries, with Salvation Army, with United Way. We sponsored something called the Homeless Resource Day. Yeah, we're able to provide medical help, resources for food, transportation, veteran affairs stuff. Over 500 people received help because of your generosity and our partnership with them. I think that's a pretty big deal, and that's an awesome thing to be able to serve those who are struggling and those who are without homes. That's a cool thing. We're able to partner also with National Night Out. If you've never heard of National Night Out and what that kind of means, it's to increase trust in lower income neighborhoods, traditionally Black and Hispanic neighborhoods that do not have a lot of trust with law enforcement officers. And so we sponsored a night where we can bring in our police force and our fire department, our first responders, and people from the community to be able to just have a little bit of fun and develop good working relationships with one another to build some trust. That's a big deal, by the way. You saw what happened in 2020 when people just did not trust anyone with a uniform, and we're helping to try to build the bridge back by sponsoring events like National Night Out, where you just get people a chance to have fun and not just see them at their worst. Does that make sense? And so that's a big deal to be able to partner with a lot of people that we're able to do with that. There's over 400 kids and parents, by the way. Our sponsorship was for 75602 in South Longview, and that's an awesome thing in South Longview. So let's move on from there to Longview Community Ministries. This is a beautiful thing that's able to help people pay rent, provide things that they need. With our help, what they've been able to do this year, I want to share this with you. They've given out 34,268 pounds of food to those that were hungry in our city, by the way, just our city. 34,000 pounds of food helped 10,085 families this year. That's an all-time record for us. We also sponsored something called Coats for Kids, for kids that didn't have something warm to wear this winter. They are going to be warm because of you and because of your generosity. We're able to help with that. And then also we paid 258 people's bills. So from rent to utilities, things that people were behind on, because of you, 258 of those were able to get paid. I love that. That's an awesome thing. Let's move there to Young Life. If you know Joe Lane and what's happening with our Young Life and lots of student ministry stuff, there's fantastic things that are going and happening with them. We love our partnership with them, but we were able to provide food for their meetings. And had our team put together the details, we're able to give 800 chicken tenders and over 1,000 slices of pizza. That's a big deal. I love that. Being able to, sometimes the only way you get to a kid's heart is by feeding them. Come on, somebody. And that's beautiful to watch that happen. Sent some teen moms to camp with their kids, provided Bibles, devotional materials for their small groups. Love that. Let's move on to what's happening in Longview ISD. We're able to partner with Judson Middle School and also with Ware Elementary to do campus prayer. Somebody said, there's no prayer in schools. Yes, there is, and it's us. We're going there, and we're praying over those students. We're praying over those teachers. We're able to bless the teachers and their staff with breakfast on multiple occasions, and I love what's happening there and in our schools. By the way, we received the Red Apple Award from Longview ISD for supporting local education. That went to a church. By the way, you guys are the first recipient of that award for our involvement in local education. That's a big deal. So let's not just curse local education. Let's get in there and make a difference. Come on, somebody. That's a beautiful thing. I love that. Also, we're able to sponsor another local church to get some training to get away. And that's a beautiful thing. This is our fourth or fifth year in a row where we sent another local church on our dime to go and get some help and get some training from some groups of people that are experts in their field. Love that. We've also started working with the city of Longview and developed a really good relationship with our mayor, Ms. Kristen Ishihara, and her husband. Been able to pray for her on multiple occasions. I was able to spend some time with her just a few weeks back, and I said, how are you doing, Mrs. Mayor? And she started crying. She said, this ain't good. There's a lot of problems in this city. It's hard. I said, how can I pray for you? So she gives me a list of things to pray for. I laid hands on her, prayed for her right there, by the way. The Bible says, pray for those that are in authority. And so I believe when somebody says, would you pray for me? I'm like, I'm gonna lay hands on you right now. Two reasons. Number one, I'll probably forget if I don't. And number two, it makes a big statement when you say, let's pray. Come on, you asked me for prayer, here we go. And so I love our relationship that's happening with our mayor and with the city of Longview. There's some great things happening. I wish I could go into all that. We've also been able to help with CASA. If you guys don't know CASA, a court-appointed special advocate for kids that have been pulled out of homes for one reason or another. There's all kinds of horrible horror stories that we hear from families that have been affected by a lot of different things, from drugs and from sexual abuse, from domestic violence. And so these kids are hurting. And so when our mayor reached out and said, hey, we've got 18 kids in our foster care system with CASA that don't have a gift for Christmas, can somebody take care of that? Nobody responded, but we did. And so I called my executive and called my assistant and said, hey, Our mayor has asked for somebody to help. No one has reached out. Can we just take care of this? And of course, we're at the end of our year. Most of our budget has been spent, but we said, how much is this going to cost? About $3,000. I'm like, let's find the money. I don't care. If we have to put it up ourselves, I'll ask people. I'll make some phone calls. I know that our church is generous. We're able to do this in about 3 minutes, by the way. We looked for some budget. So we're going to take a little bit of that from worship, take a little bit from kids, take a little bit from here, but let's put together $3,000 and take care of some foster kids for Christmas. All 18 were taken care of because of your generosity. We were able to put that together. I love that. 18 kids having Christmas this year because of you. I love that. Our work with Branches of Hope, getting nonprofits to start working together and to stop duplicating efforts in our city. Many nonprofits are doing the same thing and just don't know each other. So getting them to come to the table together, getting them to start working together and to say, well, I do this better than you, so how about you send me these cases and you do this better than me, I'll send you those cases. We can actually get people the help that they need instead of saying, well, we only, you know, we're underfunded and all the budget cuts that are happening with different nonprofits. Get people the help that they actually need. Branches of Hope has done some fantastic things. And by the way, this was a key part in what happened when the Department of Energy gave Eastman here $1.3 billion for our city. A key part of that is how much money is going to affect the most impoverished parts of our city and who has a plan to reach those people. By the way, Branches of Hope says, we got the plan. We're able to present it in the right time. The government said, absolutely yes, and chose Longview over every other city in our country to put $1.3 billion into our economy. That's a beautiful thing made in part possible by Branches of Hope and what we're doing in 75602. There are some great things coming. I can't wait to show you the plans of what's gonna happen with medical clinics and with food and with daycare services, all those things that are happening because of what God is doing through Branches of Hope and through people like Unite and the other churches that we're working with. It's not just us, but other churches as well. Longview Chamber of Commerce, we've been working together with the Chamber of Commerce, sponsoring some inner city trips and getting our best and brightest minds in our city to get out of the city, to go to some other place that's doing well and say, what are you guys doing that's working and can we bring any of those ideas back to Longview to help our city be able to grow? Longview has not traditionally been known as a city where businesses are welcome. We gotta fix that. It's important for us to create jobs for people so we don't keep farming out our children to Austin and to Dallas and to Fort Worth. They don't want to live here. But what if we created jobs where they say, this is where I want to raise my family. This is a great place to be. We have to be able to say, let's work with our Chamber of Commerce, with those that are producing great jobs for our kids to be able to stay and find their careers here. And so we've been able to sponsor our best and brightest minds to go and find those cities and connections that are doing it better than us to bring back those ideas. And by the way, in January, when the Longview Chamber of Commerce has their big gala thing that they do at Mod Cop Center, we are being given an award as our Community Impact Award recipient. We are number one out of all businesses, all churches in the city getting involved in the city. Longview Chamber of Commerce says High Ridge Church is the number one partner, so we're getting awarded for that. Thank you very much for your generosity and your willingness to get involved in the city. It's nice to be able to take Mobberly off the top spot. Come on, somebody. Not that it's a competition. But we here, baby. We them boys. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We've also got some crazy things that have happened with Transformation Longview, getting businesses to start working together and hold each other accountable, getting CEOs and CFOs to sit together at a table and start holding each other accountable to some biblical values, and that's been a beautiful thing. That's launched some great things in Longview ISD into our different branches of government. They're all running the same transformation tables through there. That's a beautiful thing to watch the city start working together. I wish I could say more about that. There's a ton to go through. Let's move on to LAMA, which is Longview Area Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance. That's just a long, long name for a bunch of pastors working together. And so they brought me onto their staff as the staff teacher. I've been able to bring a lot of leadership stuff and been able to sponsor their events with the National Day of Prayer and all kinds of great events that we've been able to do with them, which is awesome to see churches working together. It's beautiful. Also, our Unite conference this past year, we were able to bring John Maxwell back and reintroduce him to our city. 5 years ago, he came for the first time when we first got together with other churches to put on that conference. And he said, man, you guys are thinking too small. This is awesome. Let's launch some programs here in the city. Let me help you. And I'm like, that's great and all, but we don't have any money. And he wrote a check for $50,000, by the way, to say, I want to help you do this. And so it's been 5 years now. We brought him back and he's like, wow, what God has done has been awesome to see. By the way, he wrote us another check. So come on, somebody. That's a beautiful thing. We also had Compassion International here. And you guys, I think through just that, having Compassion International, you sponsored 78 kids And I love seeing your generosity and help, especially with children. That's a beautiful thing. Let me move on to Restoration Outreach Ministries. This is Pastor Nakia Smith. This is located right on the loop behind Dickie's Barbecue. It's an awesome little church back in there. And one of our friends, he reached out and said, I'd love to expand my platform. I love my platform to kind of look like you guys' platform. How do I build that? And I said, well, get a couple of guys in your church and we'll provide the materials. I'll pay for it. And you guys, you know, I'll show you the details of how we do this and you can put it together. He said, I don't have guys that can do that kind of stuff in my church. And I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll send us the guys too. So between Heath, between Cameron Williams, between James Williams, between, where are you at, Jeremy? Jeremy Kamak as well. I mean, several of you guys just showed up and showed off. You guys built an amazing platform. I want to show you pictures of that. By the way, when he called me and told me thank you, he was crying. He said, what in the world makes a church do this for somebody else? I'm like, we're on the same team, baby, same team. He said, how much do I owe you? I'm like, you don't owe me nothing. This is a generous church that just wants to help. So on behalf of those that we've been able to do, there's a lot of stories that I can't share. We don't have enough time, but that's just Longview alone. So let's get to some numbers just for our church and kind of what we've been able to do this past year. Our average weekly attendance, by the way, has grown 4%, which is awesome. We're growing. In spite of distrust for churches, we're still growing. But that 4%, by the way, is the lowest percentage of growth that we've ever had. And I think some of that is very intentional, that the Lord began to speak to us at the beginning of this year, not to just think about growing a church in size, but to grow it in strength. And so we've spent a lot of our money investing back into you, into your businesses, into the leadership of our city to get this church strong. So there's been a ton of money that we've been able to spend just on making sure that our people have counseling, making sure that our people are plugged in, making sure that they're learning, have the best materials. We've been able to launch our app, which is awesome, to give people real world solutions, real resources, able to launch a brand new website. That costs a lot of money to do that. That is not cheap. But the Lord spoke to us very clearly that you're not to do business as usual, but get people strong. It matters that their marriages are strong. It matters that their relationships with their children are strong. And this is a place where people can find real strength and real encouragement. I love that. Our highest attendance in 2023, by the way, you guys broke the all-time record with 1,068 on a weekend. That was massive. You blew that away this year. Our highest attendance weekend this year was 1,336. That's a lot of people. Pray for your boy. All right. 47 baptisms. I love that. Our group leaders have increased now to 100 different people leading groups. That's a 10% increase from 2023. People that are in groups. By the way, I look at church markers for health. How do you really know that the church is healthy? And so a large part of that is how many people are in groups. And so in an average church in the U.S., that groups number is not very good. In a healthy church, they'll tell you that between 40 and 50% of your people need to be actively doing discipleship and into small groups. And so our number, by the way, when we ran it, is 45%. So we ride in the mix, baby. Come on, somebody. I love that. Our serving percentage in a healthy church in the U.S. in 2024, the people that serve in a church is about 42%. For a good church, 42% are going to be serving. Our percentage, by the way, is 62.3%. Come on, somebody. We a serving church. I love that. Special shout out to Grace and all of our Dream Team members. I love that you are a serving church. You guys are awesome. And the most important number of all, the responses to the gospel, those that said yes to Jesus, those that asked for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, 389 people this year alone said yes to Jesus. How about that? Come on, somebody. That's awesome. So we're running out of time, but let me show you a video real quick, kind of a year in review of what's been happening. Check this out, if you wouldn't mind.
Pause to ask yourself, why do we do all this? The setup, the planning, the countless hands and hearts behind every service, every event. But what's it all for? These moments matter. They bring us together. They lift us up. But behind every experience is a belief that drives it all. This belief we hold has stayed constant since the beginning. God loves people. And we are called to create a place where that love is known and experienced.
This is, as our elders have prayed together, we asked the Lord what he might be saying to us as a church in 2024, and this is what we heard collectively. Let the fear of the Lord govern your decisions. Be in awe and reverence of his presence, and he will show you the way. He is fine-tuning your ears to hear his voice in this next season.
In Ezekiel 34, God calls out Israel's leaders, comparing them to careless shepherds. He grieves over his lost and vulnerable sheep. A few years ago, this passage struck us so deeply that we had to stop and reevaluate. We listened and allowed the scripture to examine our hearts. And we paused and asked ourselves, why are we doing all this? In a growing church, it can be easy to look at the numbers. And yes, they have their place. But numbering sheep isn't the same as caring for them. We pivoted our focus to the wholeness and well-being of the people rather than multiplication. Our purpose was refined, sharpened. Our way forward was straightened. He was and still is calling us to focus on the strengthening of the people. God wants you strong in your faith. He wants you strong in your marriage. He wants you strong in your witness. He wants you strong in character. He wants you strong in joy. He wants you strong in your purpose. He wants you strong in your ability to handle life's hardships. He wants you strong in your community of friends. He wants you strong in your relationship with him, the Good Shepherd. Our desire as a church is simple: to be fully submitted to his will, to let his love and care shape our own, so that everything we do, every gathering, every message, every act of worship is rooted in love for his people, those that are already his and those that don't know him yet, because that is what matters most to him. What does his church look like when we are filled with the knowledge of his will? When everything we do is founded in the grace that we have been given?
This house will be a safe haven for leaders, a safe place for babies, as well as a safe place for those who have been hurt. It will be a home to some and a way station for others to catch their breath and refuel.
God knew I needed community. I started serving and found my place and my people.
Since I've been at High Ridge, I have been able to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly.
I was in a real dark place before I started coming to High Ridge. I wanted to be alone in the church, and the best way possible refused to let me be that way.
The church has been a blessing in my life. It strengthens me. It gives me an opportunity to use my gifts, but be built up and be willing to take a risk.
Coming to this church and serving, I have found that it doesn't matter how old I am, that I can greet people at the door, I can sing on worship team, and I can help in women's ministry, and I can be a blessing to others through that.
High Ridge has helped me by providing a place for God to reclaim my life and my marriage.
Together, we're already seeing it. People around you are being strengthened as you say yes to him, and we are seeing lives transformed.
I was baptized in 2014, not really understanding the magnitude of what I was doing, and so today is just an intentional honoring of the Lord and accepting him in my heart.
I lost my way for a long time. I wasn't living my life the way that the Lord intended me to live it. It's time to profess my faith publicly.
I've known about God my whole life, and I've told the whole world about him, but I've never known him the way that I know him now.
We envision a future where God's love is expressed even more fully through the members of High Ridge Church. We want to continue to be a refuge to the weary, a place where the lost are found, a place where the scattered are gathered up again and led back to solid ground, where people are encouraged and emboldened to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And we want to say thank you for every sacrifice, every coffee meeting, every minute you spent serving, every fervent prayer prayed, every time you opened your home, every penny given, and every faith step taken. Together, we are leaving a legacy.
Come on, somebody. God's been good to us in 2024. The Lord has been good to us. How about that? Come on, can you say that with me? The Lord has been good to us. Come on, say it like you mean it. The Lord has been good to us. I'm so very, very grateful for your generosity. I want to just remind you how important it is and to make a difference in the life that we have for the Lord. It's a beautiful and it's an amazing thing. I'm very proud of you. I'm very, very proud of you. And so I'm so thankful that each of you have chosen to trust us. I believe with all my heart that churches ought to do this more often. Show us where the money's going. Show us the people that need to say, hey, because of you, you've made a difference in my life. I'm here. And that's a wonderful and beautiful thing. So I asked you a few weeks ago to come prepared to give as we finish out this year. So I want to give you a chance to do that. There's a couple different ways that I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to just indulge me for just a moment. On the seat back pocket in front of you is an envelope. Notice if you're giving in cash or check, you can grab one of those. And then as you leave today, you can place it in one of our giving stations. There's a box at the back of the room, as there always is. We're not going to pass baskets. We're not going to make you come forward and show everybody what you... We're not going to do that stuff. I'm not here to put pressure on you. I would never do that. I'm simply going to ask you in just a moment to listen to the Holy Spirit and to do whatever he tells you to do. God has obviously taken very, very good care of us because we've taught you how to hear from the Holy Spirit. I believe in the next few moments, you're going to have a chance to respond and say yes to whatever he tells you to do. My wife and I were talking as we always do, and we asked the Lord to show us what he would have us to give first. And as happens every single year, she always has a much higher number than what I have. I like to think that I'm generous. You don't know. I'm just telling you, my wife. But I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. We choose the higher number. We're doing it again this year. So I'm not asking you to do something that I won't do myself that we're doing. And also I want to remind you, next week, we're going to show you some important things that are happening around the world. The global impact that you guys have had is our biggest ever. And I want to be able to show you that next week. At the end of next week's service, I'm going to give you another opportunity to give. So don't worry today if you're not prepared. If you haven't heard anything, don't do anything the Holy Spirit's not telling you to do. But I'm going to give you another opportunity next week to hopefully see not just what we've done around the world, but teaser, what we're doing next. God's got some great things in store for our future. Our best days are not behind us, people. Our best days are still in front of us. The best is still yet to come. So God has worked some wonderful things. Just this past week, things are happening for our future, and I cannot wait to share with you what we're gonna do next. It's awesome. And so I'll give you a chance to see it and to experience. We've got some video to show you and some awesome things that we're able to tease you with. Until you next week, we're gonna give you another opportunity to give, if you wouldn't mind, when you see kind of where we're going and where we feel like the Lord is telling us to invest our finances. And so that's all happening next week. I expect that you would come prepared to give. If you're not able to do that this week, come prepared to give next week and listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're with your spouse, make sure that you do this together. This is important. You got to learn how to pray together. You got to learn how to give together. Couples, I'm so shocked that believers don't do that. Please do that. It will help strengthen your marriage. It'll help strengthen your relationship with the Lord. It strengthens your family when you can pray together and when you can give together. So if you are seated with your spouse, if you're seated with a member of your family, would you guys do me a favor? It might be awkward, maybe something that you don't do. Would you reach over there and grab their hand? It's okay to touch your spouse. Grab their hand. And we're going to pray together and ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to you guys together. Let's pray. Fathers, we collectively say thank you for what you've done in this past year. We join together as families of this church, saying we're thankful that you've led us here to this moment, to this church. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. Thank you, Lord, that this is a church that is accountable, that is under authority, and that spends wisely. Thank you, Lord, that we are a part of a church that is making a difference in our city. Thank you, Lord, that we're not in some dead church that can't afford to keep the lights on every week. Lord, you have blessed us, and you've given us more than we could have hoped for. So, Lord, I pray that we have pleased you in every way, And I pray that what's coming next would also please you. That we would always be a church that's trustworthy, that's accountable, that's honest and transparent. A church that can be trusted with more from our good God. So Father, as we join together with our families today, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would come right now. Holy Spirit, what are we to give? What would you have our families do? Holy Spirit, what do you want from us? What are you saying? Father, we want to stand behind what you're doing. We want to leave a legacy that makes a difference within our lifetime. So Lord, because you've blessed us, we want to be a blessing. Lord, I pray you give them the right number. I pray you'd lead them so that they could give with joy, for you love a cheerful giver. And as we give today, Lord, we express great excitement and expectation over our future, believing that good will come to those who are generous, who conduct their affairs with justice. Good will come to those that are righteous. Their name will be remembered forever. Lord, we let the words of Psalm 112 reside upon our hearts and say, let that be us, the righteous, the generous, those that are leaving a legacy. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Would you go ahead and stand to your feet with me as we finish up our service today? I'm going to ask our elders to step forward. I want to remind you, if you have a cash or check, one of those envelopes would be great. You can leave it in one of the giving stations as you leave. If you want to give online, there is a QR code happening on the screen behind me. You can simply open up your camera app and that will lead you right to our giving page. If you will scroll down to the legacy part, that'll make sure it goes just to legacy. If you want to distinguish between your tithes, which is general, and an offering, which this would be considered an offering, you can give towards Legacy Sunday today. Most people, I think sometimes in our mind, you don't know the difference between a tithe and an offering. I'm going to get better at presenting that to you, but this would be the offering, the over and above, that kind of thing. And then I will also remind you, hey, Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock, 4:30, and 6. I want to remind you that December 29th, there is no service, and Discover is coming up in January, time of fasting and prayer. So our elders are right here to be able to pray for you. If you're walking through a difficult season, you need some prayer, we would love to pray for you. For those of you watching online, hey, we love you. We're praying for you to get well soon. And then for everybody else, let me pray for you and bless you. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week, being led by your Spirit, walking with expectation into 2025, believing God for good things. We ask these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. Have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.